that was made. He made the world. And yet, Jesus knew all of the world. His ministry, it is said, never really got beyond 15, 20 miles, 30 at the most. Yet he knew, and when he left, he said to go into all the world. And when we go to places, we in the world, we like to talk about geographic locations we've been. Maybe you've been to Disneyland, and you talk about that. And for the rich and famous, they go to Alaska. And we talk about that nice trip. And maybe you've been to Hawaii, but we like to share where we've been. I find it rather interesting that Jesus, knowing the whole geographic world, he only spoke of two places geographically. One was heaven, and the other was hell. He spoke about hell far more than any man had ever lived. He spoke about hell far more than he did about heaven. I want us to read one verse this morning. Then I'm going to do just a kind of an overview of the times that Jesus mentioned hell. He talked about it. He could hardly give a message or a sermon without putting it in there. Let us read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Liberal preachers love preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, but they sure ignore this part. Wouldn't you know it? I've got the wrong address. And I'm stubborn enough, if you'll be patient with me. No wonder I'm in the Gospel of John. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Father, I ask now that you help me as I preach your word. May you give me an unction of the Holy Spirit. May you open our hearts that we would hide your word in our heart. Put your blessings upon it. I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus spoke about hell more than anybody else. In Matthew 5:22, he says it's hell fire. Matthew 5:29, he says you would rather go into heaven maimed than to have your whole body be cast into hell. In Matthew 5:30, he refers that comment again. Matthew 7, verse 13, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. He's talking about hell. Matthew 8, 12, he says many are going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the king and the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 10, fear not him that can destroy and kill the body, but fear him that destroys both body and soul in hell. Matthew chapter 11, twice in this chapter, he makes reference to coming judgment. Chapter 12, again, he makes reference to coming judgment. Matthew chapter 13, he tells of the tares that are gathered to be burned. The tares are the unsaved. He says that the angels are going to gather the believers and take them to one place, but the tares, the unbelievers, the unsaved, will be thrown into fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, he says, what is man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Again, referencing hell. Matthew chapter 18, he again alludes and says that he talks about someone that would, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. And if your foot, cut it off. It's better to enter into life maimed than to have both two hands and both your feet and cast into everlasting fire. Matthew 19, he alludes to hell again. Matthew chapter 21, he makes reference to the coming punishment and rejecting God's Son. Matthew chapter 22, he tells and uses these words of someone who did not use his talents. He says, bind him hand and foot, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. This is when he begins to ratchet it up and says, woe, woe, woe. And he's not talking about a horse. He's talking about judgment and how shall you escape the damnation of hell. Matthew 24, as he talks about his coming, and he says that those that were not ready when he comes, he said he would appoint him his portion, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Chapter 25 of Matthew, he speaks of the unjust servant who has buried his talent. And here is what the words of our Lord said. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall he say to them, verse 41. He puts the believers on the right and those that are not believers, the unsaved, on the left hand. And here are the words of our Savior to them. Depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. No wonder Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to keep you out of hell. In Mark chapter 16, he ends with these last words. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That is the gospel. The last two words, if you will now turn back to chapter 5, I'm just going to talk about just this one verse, but I want you to see in the ministry of Jesus, throughout the 3.5 years, he is constantly drumming the beat about hell, about judgment. It was intertwined in all of the other things that are often preached on. The last two words that came from the lips of the blessed Son of Man in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, he said would be in danger of hell fire. So in saying that, he gave a descriptive term of what hell is about. It is not the grave. There are those that like to point out the compassion of Jesus Christ, the lowly shepherd. carrying a lamb, and rightly so. There are those that talk of his miracles, and they speak of him raising the dead and cleansing the leper and healing the blind and opening deaf ears and casting out demons, and rightly so. And there are those that say much about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, that he came to build. He came to offer himself a sacrifice for us, and he died. He rose from the dead that we could be saved. That is preached, and rightly so. But in this day and time, it is not popular at all in 2014 to take everything that Jesus said and preach on it. For the Son of Man is the one who said, "Hail fire." And if you could take hell from the Bible, which most churches have done today, then you could accommodate people in a different way. And you could make them comfortable, for there would never be a fear of a future judgment. But according to the New Testament, there is no doubt that Jesus Christ, of all people that lived on the face of the earth, preached about hell more than anyone else. And now, all of a sudden, our conviction to be Christ-like begins to kind of wane on us. But may we take his word and what Jesus said and look at it once again. He preached about hell more than anyone else. He told us about hell. He described it. He laid it out in simple terms of where it is unmistakable what it is. And in here in Matthew 5, he said hell is hell fire. Therefore, fire is included in this place called hell. He spoke of it in a sense of what I say is no plainer words than hellfire. You know, the Bible makes declarations. It makes definitive statements. It declares things to be so. You can believe it or you can reject it. The Bible does not set about to prove anything. It simply says, in the beginning, God. Now, you can say there is no God until you're blue in the face, and that will not change the issue. There is a God. The Bible says that everyone will stand before God, and the Scripture simply says that God created the heavens and the earth, and it doesn't make any difference to me, in all due respect, if you are some professor at some college or university or anthropology or what have you. It doesn't change the fact that God created the heavens and the earth 2,000 years ago. And he became a man, and he came to this earth, and he told us things that we had never heard before. We know that in the Old Testament, the Bible says the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. We know it mentions in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, it says that hell hath enlarged itself. Apparently, hell is never full. But when Jesus, the lowly carpenter, showed up 2,000 years ago, he preached about hell over and over and over. And in our text, Matthew 5, at the Sermon of the Mount, supposedly the great liberal sermon, he brought them the doctrine of hell. He said hell is hellfire. So according to the Scriptures, hell is a place that exist literally. This is not a Pentecostal doctrine. This is not a Baptist doctrine. This is not a Methodist doctrine. This is a Bible doctrine. Hell is taught in the Bible, and hell exists somewhere. There is nothing you can do to change that this morning. Hell does exist, and it awaits those that leave this world unprepared to meet God. Hell is a place that was created for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says when it was made for the devil and his angels, it was a place of punishment, not a place to simply go to. It was designed for punishment. It's a place that says, and I quote the words of Jesus, hell fire. And if you're very smart today and you got half some intelligence, you ought to be doing some thinking where you are going when you leave this world. If there is something that is absolutely certain, you should know this. You should come to terms with this. And the sooner, the better before you die, because you are going to die. You will leave planet Earth. Now, I know some of you think that you may live forever. I know you would like to put this out of your mind. I know it's unpleasant thinking. I know it's easy to put things out of the mind. The other day I was watching and a commercial came on about helping the wounded in the wars, and it showed their bodies, and I started getting weepy inside for these poor soldiers that have given their lives for our country, and it was easy for me to turn the channel. But then I thought to myself, why am I turning the channel? That is what we do often in church when we come up against truths that are told from the blessed Lord, and we don't want to think about it. But this morning, may the Holy Spirit drive it home to you to think about it. You are going to die. And one day you're going to draw your last breath. Your heart is going to stop beating, and there will be no more life in you. Where is your soul going? Are you prepared? My late friend Linfield Crowder used to preach, and it was very familiar in his message to insert these words, eternity, eternity. Where will you spend eternity? And what are you going to do with Jesus? I know we've prepared for many things. You prepared your house. I know you prepared your income. You prepared your marriage. You prepared for when the baby was born, how you got a nursery together. You've prepared for college. You've prepared for many things. But you have made no plans when you leave this world. Have you made preparations when you leave this world? You see, hell is a place. It existed before you were born. It is there, and there is nothing you can do to change it whatsoever. It doesn't matter if the churches have quit preaching on hell. It doesn't matter if the liberals have quit preaching on hell. It doesn't matter if the TV preachers have quit preaching on hell. It doesn't matter if the seminaries and the Bible colleges are not teaching their students about hell. If they take it away from the Bible, it makes no difference. It is still a place that you must deal with one day. Somebody, my friend, died this morning. Somebody died this past week. Somebody took their last breath and went to hell. On September the 7th, 2014, somebody died this morning, I can guarantee you, and went to hell. What a shock it must have been. There are those that deny hell exists, but it doesn't change it. One day, you will lift up your eyes in hell, the Bible says, the rich man did. It's a very descriptive talk. I did not read the passage, but in Luke the 16th chapter, Jesus tells of a rich man that died and went to hell. And he was buried. And the Bible said he lifted up his eyes. It's as if the Bible says he died and he awoke in a place that was beyond his wildest imagination. He never for one time thought that such a place like that could exist. But he lifted up his eyes in hell. He became aware of his presence. He became aware of his surroundings. And from there he knew that from that moment on, he could do nothing to change his circumstances. He asked, "Oh, send Lazarus for one drop upon my tongue." No. You know, there's no salvation in hell. There's no Bible in hell. There's no Savior in hell. There's no blood in hell. There's no altars in hell. There's no hope in hell. There's no forgiveness in hell. Whatever goes to hell stays in hell. It's permanent. It's over. It's settled. It's done. I often see Jesus, when he preached on it, with a tear in his eyes. What you have done in this life determines where you will go. When you die without God, you go to hell. Hell is a place that is awaiting you. It's waiting. It's a place that has plenty of patience. It doesn't matter, my friend, if you live 150 years. It's waiting. It's almost as though hell has a personality, for it knows that every soul without God that departs from this world, it will enter into its mouth and into its clutches, and hell has no escape signs on it. You may fall into quicksand, and you may struggle and work your way out of it, but nobody ever gets their way out of hell. Hell almost seems to have, as I said, a personality almost like hell takes glee in the fact of those that die without God will enter into its presence. And that's why Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died on the cross at Calvary. He didn't die to make you rich. He died to keep you out of hell. That's why when he went to the cross, it's so horrible. That's why it took the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says that God made him to be sin who knew no sin. And that is why Calvary is so horrendous. There's only one name that can keep you out of hell. Only one name. It's not a Baptist, it's not a Methodist, not a Pentecostal church that can keep you out of hell. It's not a Catholic, it's not a Jew. There's just one name given under heaven whereby you may be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Folks use that name, hell, day in and day out. They use the word hell, and we've almost become desensitized to it. It doesn't have any meaning anymore. It has no punch to it anymore. It's used in jokes. It's used in sayings. What the hell? What this and what that? And it's lost its punch. I can guarantee you Jesus never used it that way. After I've re-saw this, it has put a new fear of God in me. Oh, it is a dreadful thought. My friend, it is the devil's strategy to make hell not real. It is the devil's strategy to take away that God does punish sin. We forget he is a holy God, a holy thrice God, holy, holy, holy. And the devil has done his best to make you believe and to make you not aware of hell, but has become part of everyday vocabulary. But hell is not a joking matter. Hell is very real. Nothing has stopped it. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. Think about that. Our God is a consuming fire. You see, there's a holiness about God. If you could go into the presence of God unsaved, he would literally annihilate you. You'd rather go to hell in a heartbeat than to come before a holy, holy, holy God without being washed in the blood. Dare I come before this holy God without the blood covering your soul? You would scream for hell. You would cry for hell. You see, I believe, your pastor believes, that hell burns because of the holiness of God. That's what hell's all about. It's a place that you go to without God. Well, pastor, someone said hell is a place without God. Who told you that? You find it in the Bible. Well, I heard it from an evangelist. It doesn't matter where you heard it from. Bible said he'll be dead and another generation will come. And another generation will come. And another generation will come. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We are judged by the book. Well, preacher, I want to tell you the truth. I've never read it. That's the truth. Most Christians, many people have not read it through and through. That's why we must continue in the book. You don't just read it one time, put it up on the shelf and forget about it. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you need to be in the word as much as you possibly can. But the devil will try to get you out of the book, and the devil will try to get you not to think about hell. But if you're going to be honest with the word of God, Jesus spoke about hell all the time. The truth is, it's a sad state that the church is in today. Most people are as ignorant of the Bible as they can be. And that's why many people are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's why people go from one church to the next church to the next church, from one doctrine to the next doctrine. It's because we are such a fickle, flim-flam bunch that don't know and study their Bible. We don't know anything about God or his word. It's a sad reality and commentary, but the Bible has not changed. I love it when I hear people talk, but they use scripture to back up what they say. The Bible, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Not your opinion, not my opinion. What does the Bible say? Hell is real. Am I going there? Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, hell fire. If I thought for a moment I was going there, I don't think I could sleep. The one thing that caused me to go to church was I was at a party one night, doing things I knew that my conscience said I shouldn't do. And I heard the voice of God, what would you do if I came tonight? And I knew my soul was not ready. And I went to church and I got saved. If I thought for one moment today that my soul was not right, I don't think I could sleep. If I die, my body may cease today. My heart may beat its last breath. This may be my last day on planet Earth. It may be your last day on planet Earth. You may be perfectly healthy now, but something takes your life away. Before the sun goes down, you'll be lying dead in a morgue with your body at room temperature, and people would be planning your funeral days from now. Where will you be? Well, preacher, I just don't believe all of that. Oh, you don't, do you? What do you base what you believe on? My dear friend, what do you base the fact that you don't believe in hell? What do you base it on? Well, I don't believe God is like that. I don't believe a good, loving God would do that. Well, you do. What do you know about God? What do you base about God? Where did you get that opinion about God? Did you get it from what you want, or did you get it from the Word of God? Because the Word of God is what I'm preaching to you today. Did you ever bother to read the Bible about the God that you say you know? It's so easy to misrepresent God. It's so easy to say God does this and God does that. Where do you get that? In the book of Job, when they debated on why this happened to Job and all this, God showed up and he rebuked all of them, said, you've misrepresented me. You've been talking about me and haven't been speaking the truth. Unless you know your Bible, you be careful of how you represent God. What did he say in his word? He said in his word, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He brought a flood upon the earth one time. I wonder how many of them went to hell. I know Noah was righteous. He found grace. I wonder what happened to the rest of them. Thousands of years ago, layers of earth prove that all over the globe we know there was water that covered the earth. You can discover if you want to look. God destroyed it once, and he's promised to never destroy it again with water, but he has promised to destroy it with fire. I heard one of our, and I know the Bible says not to speak evil of the rule of thy people. And I'm not speaking evil of the rule of thy people, but I am speaking as John the Baptist did when he looked at Herod and said, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he rebuked him, he was not speaking evil of the ruler of his people. And what I'm about to say, I'm not speaking evil of the rule of thy people, but I am speaking evil of what he said. John Carey said, in Scripture we are told to love this Mother Earth. Where's that in the Bible? You show me that in the Bible, John Carey. If he thought so much of this earth, why is he said he's going to burn it up? And he's going to burn up the elements with fervent heat. And I'm not saying as Christians we shouldn't be good stewards and etc. But my friend, when you begin to major on the mind on the something that has nothing to do with the overall truth of the Bible, and we forget the most important words, my God, what are we doing to ourselves? There's going to be a heaven. There's going to be a hell. And far more people go to hell than go to heaven, and that is what the Bible says. We're going to find out God's not happy what's going on around us. We live in a generation that is literally brainwashed. I've really never seen anything quite like it. This generation will almost embrace anything. They'll embrace and believe anything that is most relativistic people on the face of the earth. I marvel with what they believe that is so ridiculous are in your face. It's constantly, and it's gotten to the place where everybody has become desensitized. Nobody is convicted of anything anymore. Children are dying in Chicago, being shot down. We find the most horrible atrocities on the news of ISIS or ISIL beheading children. Drive-by shootings and the rest of this sinful, untoward generation It's gotten so bad you don't know what to expect next. Murderers, day in and day out. Rapings, day in and day out. And there are criminals, do you know that in this town, that would blow your brains out? They're that wicked and evil. It's never crossed their murdering minds that they are going to burn in hell. They've never thought the fact that they're going to burn one day in hell. And we have gotten to the place where everything is passé. There's no meaning to anything anymore. Whatever you feel good about doing, just do it. Satan is so smart. He's brainwashed a whole nation. His message is, as from the beginning of time in the garden, oh, I better not eat that fruit. If he said, if I do, I will die. And the first thing the devil said, oh, God's not that way. Thou will not surely die. And his message today is the same. You won't go to hell. Nobody goes to hell anymore. His message is you will not die. His message is no. It's annihilation. His brainwashed people to where sin is no longer sin, death is no longer death, and hell is no longer hellfire. We've locked up in our jails right now some of the most miserable, terrible crimes that have been committed in history, and some of the most terrible criminals that ever lived on the face of the earth are locked up now. But I often wonder, had they been taught and known about hell and about a Savior that would love them and wash them in His blood and forgive them, I wonder if the fear of God would have kept them. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord causes one to depart from evil. But we don't fear God anymore. We've got a God that everybody goes to heaven. No, my friend, not everybody goes to heaven. Not everybody makes it through the pearly gates. And because there's no hell, there's no fear of God. And because there's no fear of God, there is no conviction. Hell is full of murderers. There's no fear of God. But they'll go to hell without Jesus Christ. You live in an insane society. Nobody fears God anymore. Hell is not full yet. It's full of millionaires. It's full of billionaires. There are old men in hell. There are young men in hell. And they were so rich they could buy anything, but their money is worth nothing now. And there are people today that someday they will die and they will go to hell. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. Just like the man who lifted up his eyes in hell. There are politicians running around this world, and one day they're going to step down from confronting kings and queens, and they will die and they will go to hell one day. Yes, hell is full of kings. Hell is full of queens. Some of the greatest this world has ever known are in hell right now. You see, hell knows no identity. It is no respecter of persons. The young go to hell. The rich go to hell. The poor go to hell. The black and the white and the red and the yellow go to hell. Hell knows no distinctions. Baptists go to hell. Pentecostals go to hell. Methodists go to hell. Catholics go to hell. Russians go to hell. Americans go to hell. Jews go to hell. Africans go to hell. And there's no way out of hell. Without Jesus Christ, there's no way out of hell. Where is hell, preacher? Hell is a place at the end of your life. Some say it's in the heart of the earth. I don't believe so. I don't know where it is, but I think I know where it's not. I don't want the new heaven and the new earth having in its basement hell. No, I just know I don't want to go there. Hell is a place for a soul to go to that doesn't know Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Can you imagine that the greatest religious leaders of this world, without Jesus Christ, where do they go? They go to hell. Why have we lost our motivation? We haven't heard about hell enough. When I think about hell, it makes me witness more. When I think about hell, it makes me want to make sure I'm washed in His blood and close to Him. But this morning, I'm not preaching to the world. I'm not even on TV. I'm only preaching to you people here. There may be some here that are going to hell. Yes, you may be here today and you're on your way to hell. Here is the saddest thing about hell. Once you are there, it's too late. The rich man in hell said, "Let me go back. Let me go back and warn my brethren. Oh, Abraham, I'm in a place of torment. I've got to go back and warn them." And he said, "No, they have Moses and the prophets, or the word of God." He said, "Though were one to come back from the dead, they wouldn't repent. Would you please just send Lazarus here with a drop on his finger to quench my thirst, on my tongue? Just one drop, for I'm tormented in this place." These are the words of our precious Savior. Hell is at the end of a Christ-rejecting life. Where is hell? It's waiting. It's been around a long time. Your 50 years, 60 years, 70, 80 years is not even a breath. Remind me in the future every Sunday to take that thing off the hook. Hell was here when your great-great-grandfather was alive. People were dying then and going to hell. People were dying yesterday and going to hell. It was there when your great-grandfather was alive. You know, when I go to cemeteries, you can learn a lot at a cemetery. I often have a holy hush come over my heart when I'm in a graveyard. I'll often read what is on the tombstone. But I often will look at a grave and I will wonder. I wonder where they went. I wonder where they are. I wonder where she is. Did they know Jesus? Were they washed in His blood? Did they repent? Did they live for Him? Every one of them lived their lives and died. And if the Lord doesn't come soon, every one of us will die and will stand before God. You say, "How do I stay out of hell, preacher?" Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing you'd ask that question. "I don't want to go to hell, preacher." That's good. "Hell worries me, preacher." That's good. "How can I not go to hell, preacher?" One name. One name given under heaven whereby you may be saved. That is the name of Jesus. Bible said, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." Preacher, what does it mean to have the Son? It means you have embraced Him. You believe in Him. He is in you. He is your Savior. In Him I live. In Him I move. And I have my being. He's first in my life. That's what it means to have the Son. We need to realize not everybody goes to heaven. Far more go to hell than go to heaven. That's what Jesus said. If we use the same logic that Jesus had about heaven, we need to be honest and use the same logic of what He said about hell. Are you ready? Hell is waiting. I shared yesterday, I remember many, many years ago where I pastored in Washington. Down the street lived a senator, two doors down from the church, most famous man in the state of Washington, Hal Henry, the senator of Washington State. He had just retired 1 year, had a house on the bluff. One day the Lord spoke to me and said, "You go to him and you tell him he has 1 week to live and to get his house in order. Prepare to meet thy God." Is that in the Bible? Well, yeah. And I told the church one night, seven or eight ladies were standing around after church. And I said, "Listen, God has told me something. I need you to pray with me. I'm really disturbed and concerned. And I told them. They said, oh, are you going to tell them that? Are you sure it was God? The next day, I remember having to go down in Benji and pray for a man. When I went by, it wasn't like he told me the first time, but the sweet presence of the Lord said, are you going to tell him? Sunday morning, I'm in my office ready to come to preach when my wife came in the office and she was crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, Al Henry died last night of a heart attack. I learned my lesson. I said, I'll never fail God again when he tells me to do something. All I know is he told me to preach this sermon. Oh, may God make this doctrine come alive in us. It's real, folks. I've had a vision of it, but I won't go into detail. You say, what motivates you, preacher? The love of God? Yes. The fear of God. I fear God. In a healthy way, there's a hell. Are you ready? Do you have the Son? Have you been washed in His blood? Jesus preached about it more than anybody. And now what do we do in the day we live? We preach about heaven 10 times more than we do about hell. Debbie, would you come? Somebody asked me, in fact, the carpet cleaner, Stanley Steamer. I was here. I met with him. He said, I remember you. I said, I remember you. I said, I remember when you cleaned the carpet before. I said, yes. He said, what are you doing here at this time of day? I said, I'm getting ready to preach. He said, what are you preaching on? I said, I'm preaching on hellfire. You see, if I know I'm talking to somebody and I may not see him again, I'm not into small talk. I like to get right to it. And I know you need wisdom. And I said to him, you know, you're going to stand before God, sir. And there's a heaven, there's a hell. Are you ready? You say you're afraid you might turn them off. Folks, if they're not saved, they're already turned off. You say you're afraid offending them. They're going to be offended. The word always offends. It's the offense of the cross. I said, hell's real. He said, you know, I just had a friend die. My best friend last week. You see, folks, death is so common. Let's stand this morning, please. Father, I thank you for your word. I have delivered what you have given unto me. And I pray, God, that we realize we are not creatures just here, 70 years plus 10. We are eternal creatures. And Jesus came and he preached on something he knew. And he constantly mentioned it over and over and over and over again. It never departed his lips because he came to die to keep us out of hell. If you're here today and you're not sure you're right with God, if you had any brains, you'd say, I want to make it right. This is nothing to gamble with. But if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm really not sure, preacher, but I want to make it sure, lift your hand up, please. Your eternity's at stake. You say, I'm afraid of what people think. You won't be afraid of them when you're in hell. Oh, may God put this doctrine in our hearts. I'm going to open the altars this morning. I've delivered what God has moved on my heart to deliver. I pray you come. I pray you pray over your lost loved ones. I pray that you read the Bible, check up yourself what I preached and see if it not be true. Would you come? Bless the Lord Jesus. There's room at the cross for you. Find a place to pray. Please find a place to pray and talk to God. Make it right with Him. This is what the Bible says.
go down the steps.